Hello, all you happy people.
You've heard him at Rowe Field in Columbia.
First down, MIC.
You've heard him at various venues around town.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, welcome to Mandela Bean Center.
The home for Billiken basketball, Chaffetz Arena.
You've most likely heard his voice all over the St. Louis area.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep right field. That might get out of here. Off the top of the wall. Here comes Martin around third. She's going to score, and the Cougars win.
Willis from the corner. A little bit long, but a long rebound from Catchings. Catchings to the glass. And gets it to fall. He'll go to the free throw line.
Inside the 45 to the 40. Over the right side, he's got room. Inside the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, untouched. Touchdown, CBC.
He's the hardest working sports announcer around town that no one has ever heard of.
Oh, man, that's cold.
He's Randy Molman, host of The Mole Hole. So rub your eyes and shake the cobwebs out, St. Louis. The Mole Hole with Randy Molman starts now. On 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. You are listening to The Mole Hole on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. My name's Randy Molman, and I thank you for being up with me this morning. If you are inexplicably awake, hopefully I don't put you back to sleep. The Mole Hole is brought to you by 7th Street Bar and Grill, located at 1530 South 7th Street in the corner of 7th and Marion in Soulard. Great place to go watch college basketball. If you're looking for a nice, simple place to go watch games today, they open at 11 for lunch. Go head over to 7th Street Bar and Grill. Their menu is fantastic. Great food. Wouldn't surprise me if they had some drink specials flowing throughout the day for basketball. And a real good place to watch the game. It is catty-cornered right across the street from Soulard Market. They have appetizer specials on most and drink specials on most days for happy hour 4 to 6. They're open for lunch, as I mentioned, and they're less than a mile from Busch Stadium. So when you're making those plans for Cardinal games, you can park for free at 7th Street Bar and Grill. Go see my friends Ben and Carrie. Say hello. Once again, that's 7th Street Bar and Grill down in Soulard. I want to take a minute to thank Dan Kurtz and Jeff Herman for sitting in for me last week. A little reunion of sorts of the Sports Wake Up, as I couldn't do the show last Friday, so I appreciate them sitting in. And I went back and listened to much of the show. I podcasted like the Dickens, and they picked up right where they left off. All the silliness and goofiness of Dan Kurtz and Jeff Herman. As Dan calls it himself, ADD Radio. And it was on full display. No, those guys are great. They did a great job, and I appreciate them sitting in for me. I'm sure on other days, if I'm not available, you'll get to hear them again. I know you fellas out there that listen on a regular basis, Baby O and Hockey Bob, you got to call in and say hello to those guys, and I know you enjoyed hearing them again. So anyway, great to have Kurtz and Herman sit in for me last Friday. I appreciate that very much. Are you playing in the NCAA tournament bracket? Matt, are you a NCAA tournament guy, or you're more of a hockey guy, right?
Yeah, I'm more hockey. I've only filled out a bracket once, and it was last year, and it didn't go well.
Hey, Matt, I filled out brackets for years, and they never go well, so it's not you're not the only one there. That's Matt Davis working the board for me today. I appreciate that also as well. I'm checking my inside STL bracket, and I am, I've of course filled out a bracket as the Mole Hole. Yesterday I scored 12 points, which means I lost four games. I picked Villanova and Wisconsin correctly. I picked Virginia correctly. Gonzaga, Notre Dame, West Virginia, Florida State, St. Mary's, and Arizona. I picked all those games correctly, as well as Purdue. But I went for the upset on East Tennessee over Florida, and I got burned. I took Vanderbilt over Northwestern, and I want to talk about the end of that game. And I took Maryland over Xavier. How impressive did Xavier look last night? Wow, as the 11 seed.
It's funny you mention that because I actually started to fill out a bracket yesterday before I gave up. I was like, hey, I'm going to go with Xavier here. Why not?
Yeah, and Xavier, usually pretty good in the tournament, but as an 11 seed barely sneaking in this year, I thought, eh, maybe they're not as good as usual. Man, they looked good last night. I didn't get to watch all the games, of course. I was commenting on the press box. I sat in for Frank Cusimano yesterday, and I was commenting with Brian Hoffman and Brendan Schaefer about how me and my buddies that was the first day of the tournament was an off day. We would take the day off work and we'd go sit and watch basketball all day and turn that day into a pony show. And as we've gotten older, it's harder and harder to take off work. So I would have loved to have been sitting somewhere watching games. I know the midday grind was at Twin Peaks, as was the line change out in Chesterfield. I think they're at Maplewood location today, which is fantastic. But that's the kind of place I'd like to be today. Unfortunately, I won't be. So I didn't get to watch all the games, but I did get to see the end of that Vanderbilt Northwestern game. And boy, my feelings go out. My heart goes out to that kid, Matthew Fisher Davis of Vanderbilt, who fouls a Northwestern player late and seemed to get confused. Coach Bryce Drew was pointing at him. He grabbed a Wildcats player right in the final seconds. And such a big mistake. But man, he's just a kid. And he had 22 points. And Coach Drew said it afterwards. You know, one play doesn't win or lose a basketball game. And so, but I felt for that kid, man. I felt so bad for him. And what he's got to be going through mentally, what he's feeling like this morning, yesterday, this morning. I mean, he's got to be just beside himself. And he even said in an interview, his teammates have been great. His coach was great. Bryce Drew was fantastic in the press conference. Very classy, talking about how certainly was a mistake, but certainly was not solely that kid's fault, the reason they lost that game. A cool thing for Northwestern, though. First time ever in the NCAA tournament. First ever NCAA tournament win. You pan the crowd and you see Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld and from Veep. Her son, of course, I believe, plays for Northwestern. And just kind of a cool scene for Northwestern to hold on and win. And I believe they're the Chicago Cubs of the tournament, right? I mean, everybody's rooting for Northwestern to break that. They broke the curse. They got in the tournament. They got their win. And they've got a tall order coming up in the next round as they will take on Gonzaga. But a lot of people feel like Gonzaga's ripe for the picking, that they might be a soft number one seed. Anyway, so my bracket, 12 of 16. Look, I'm happy with that. I'm usually terrible at the brackets. I'm terrible at filling them out. I always go with my gut. If you want to call the show or text the show, please do so. 855-282-8255. That's 855-282-TALK. I'll take phone calls here in this first segment. I'll take phone calls in the second segment. Give me a call. Let's talk some sports. 855-282-8255 or shoot me a text. What was your final four? Who'd you pick in your final four coming out of each region? How did you do yesterday in your bracket? Text the show. Let me know. The 636 just texted in. He's he or she is cup crazy. Some Blues pictures. Why wouldn't you be? The Blues killing it on the West Coast trip. They really are. How about the Blues? Thank you to the 636 for texting in.
Randy, I haven't had a chance to check this morning. Did the Blues win last night?
You know, it's funny. Because I have to get up so early,
I didn't have a chance to check this morning either. So
okay.
maybe we let's do some good. Let's do good, some good radio. The 636 who just texted is going to be irate that with the Blues streaking towards the playoffs, that you and I have no idea whether they actually won last night. They did 4-1 at San Jose. How about that trip, though? That is, you know, this team is hard to figure out lately. They go on that win streak. They go on a losing streak. And now they are dominating again. And Jake Allen, how good has he been, Matt?
He's been very good. He's been a completely different guy from what we saw most of the season. It's pretty exciting, actually.
I mean, the thing about his play in the middle of the season when everyone was just worried, if you remember, I was on here saying, look, goalies can slump just like any other sport, any other pitcher in Major League Baseball, hitters in baseball, scorers in hockey. Players can slump. And Jake Allen was not immune to that. They beat San Jose. They lose 2-1 to Anaheim, although they played a pretty good game. I watched some of that game, and they beat the L.A. Kings. I mean, and now they go to Arizona and Colorado, and if they could split those two games, you're talking three wins on this five-game road trip. That's better than you would have thought, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it should be doable. From where we're sitting right now looking forward, it should be more than doable. So we could be sitting in a pretty good position here.
Could this be a team that, look, I don't want to upset the Blues fans that are all woe is me all the time, but could this be a team that sort of gets in the playoffs and it's unassuming and everyone kind of takes them for granted and overlooks them? Jake Allen stays as hot as he is now, and could they make a run like they did last year?
I don't know.
After
everything we've seen this season, I have no idea.
You look at these players and you think, you know, they still have a lot of good players on this team. It's not like when they traded Shattenkirk. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, one of my topics in my head scratching segment was they're not rebuilding. This is not a rebuild. They traded Kevin Shattenkirk because they know he's not going to re-sign. They trade him because they want to get something for him. And Blues Nation freaks out. Oh, well, that's it. Season over. They're rebuilding. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case.
I can understand that perspective, though, considering how it went down and seemingly trading Shattenkirk for something that's not really going to help us much this season. So I can see how they could have perceived it that way.
But they don't look at the whole roster. I mean, I know you do. You follow the Blues every day, and you're a big fan. I mean, but they don't look at the rest of the roster and think, Tarasenko, Petrangelo, if Jake Allen gets hot. Plus, they have Parayko. They've got still have Stastny. They have good players on this team. It's not like they took all of those guys and traded them and traded all those guys.
Right.
That would be a massive rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Shattenkirk mainly because they knew no matter what happens, they needed to get something back for him. And they knew he wasn't going to re-sign. I think it was pretty clear after reading the articles after the trade,
mm-hmm.
he was going to go to the East Coast.
Right.
That's where he wants to play. And so the Blues decided, look, we got to move on whether we are in the playoff hunt or not, because we didn't get anything for David Backes. We didn't get anything for Troy Brouwer. We've got to get something back for this guy. And look, I don't think it's hurt them that bad. They went on that streak where they lost a few games mm-hmm. in a row, but they're still playing very well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm really surprised because I thought we would, without Shattenkirk, I thought the loss would be noticeable, and it has been a lot less noticeable than I really expected, and I guess I'm okay with that. Zach Sanford, though, the young guy we got back in the Shattenkirk trade, scored his first goal as a Blue last night.
That's good. That's, look, I am... I kind of like the thought that this team sort of was left for dead. Not left for dead. That's too strong. But you know what I mean? Like, they trade Shattenkirk, and they're like, the Blues turned into sellers. They traded their best defenseman. And
they were written off by a lot of people here in St. Louis.
Written off, and fans said, I like the idea of them getting into the playoffs as sort of a, not an underdog, but sort of a, like an overlooked.
Yeah,
you know, where the NHL and even opponents will say, they're all right. And then if they play like they're playing now,
It's something to be worried about.
Still a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. And if Jake Allen gets hot, we all know how many teams over the years have gone on a long run in the Stanley Cup playoffs with a goalie that has been has locked it down.
Right.
Has been awesome. Has gone on a streak like Jake Allen's on right now.
Yeah, and you know, that's the biggest thing I think that could be taken away from this is compared to most seasons under Hitchcock, we were basically hitting our stride halfway through the season, midpoint, somewhere right around there, and you know, then kind of falling off a little bit as we go. Now it seems like we're putting things together at the exact right time we want to going into the playoffs, you know, working our way up to the best game we can put out there on the ice. And I think that's what that's a really good positive.
Yeah,
Potentially.
And look, I know some of the people who are actually awake this morning and listening, which is what, three or four people maybe. I know that they'll get mad at me when I say this. I fully admit that I am a Blues fan, but I am not. I don't really start to pay attention really closely in most seasons until about now, as yeah. As we're heading towards the playoffs. And I know a lot of people will be out there saying, oh boy, how's, by the way, I've watched a few of the games lately. I'm starting to get really excited and get into it because I know it looks like we're going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I do think this is still a pretty good team. But how's Jordan Schmaltz looked, the rookie? Overwhelmed?
I've only seen him in the one game he played. Yeah. I missed a lot of these past games because they're too late.
has he been a healthy scratch? Hey, text the show and let me know your thoughts on Jordan Schmaltz, because this is the guy that they think can replace Shattenkirk down the road, right? He's an offensive-minded defenseman. He can run the point on the power play.
I think that's probably the hope. You got to get him in the lineup at some point, though.
Right.
And I don't know. You know, it shouldn't be hard for him to get in the lineup, I wouldn't think, considering who the bottom three guys are and how they're basically just rotating and don't really have, you know, a roster spot nailed down, as in, I'm the fourth defenseman, I'm the fifth defenseman. Slide Schmaltz in there, see what he can do.
He's only played in two games so far.
And the one game was against Colorado.
Yeah, his first game up.
And he played as many minutes in the third period as he did in the first two periods combined, which means they were taking a look at him in the third after they pretty much had it wrapped up to see what he could do with a little bit extra playing time. I thought he looked good. There was a couple plays he made in the defensive zone specifically that I thought were, pretty good plays.
Texting the show, the 314 says, who cares when it counts? The Blues are nothing but losers. Okay.
That's just history,
from
man.
From the 636, Parayko is going to be a top five defenseman in the league in a year or two, needs a stronger stick, though. I mean, that's something he's working on. He's still pretty young. Yeah. I mean, but man, is he a monster.
23, 24, something like
something
that, I think.
Like that. He's a monster, though. Good Lord. Have you ever seen him up close?
No.
He's a monster.
I bet he is.
again, from the same 636, remember when Hasek took the Sabres to the finals with just a bunch of guys? That's happened a lot. I remember years ago, John Casey took the Minnesota. It was either Minnesota or Dallas at the time. I can't remember. They were like an 8 seed, or they were the lowest seed, and they went on a run to the Stanley Cup finals. It happens. This team, though, is not just a bunch of guys. Mm-hmm. When you have Tarasenko, you don't have just a bunch of guys. And you have Petrangelo. I mean, come on. This team is look, Jake Allen gets hot. This team can make a run. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. I really believe that.
Jaden Schwartz seems like he's starting to pick things up. The goals still aren't coming yet, but he seems like he's getting things flowing the right direction again.
Another good player. I realized the angst when they traded Shattenkirk, and the thought. I understand the thought that if you're trading your best defenseman, or your best offensive defenseman anyway, that you're packing it in and you're giving it up. But I just don't believe that. It was purely a move that they knew they couldn't re-sign him. They had to get something for him. And they still thought that they'd be a pretty good team. And they are still a pretty good team, as judged by this latest streak. Let's hope they can keep it going through the weekend and next week as they get Colorado and Arizona. You are listening to The Mole Hole on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM. When we come back, I am going to play. Actually, when we get back, it'll be Head Scratchers. We're going to do Head Scratchers when we get back right here on the Mole Hole on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, InsideSTL.com.